Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Bertanes, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back and relax and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we will have a great guest, two great guests to introduce. It is first Dr. Katharina Seiler. She turns earning power into ownership power, empowering people to invest with clarity, confidence, and purpose. And then secondly, we have Dr. Adolfo Panfili. He blends surgical precision with holistic thinking. Discover how he's redefining medicine, from childhood inspiration to global innovation. But first, let's kick things off with a song selected by Katharina.
Still trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination. I realized quickly when I knew I should that the world was made up of this brotherhood of man, for whatever that means. Into a crisis times when I'm lying.
What's up? That's a great start into the day, isn't it? And I pray, oh my God, do I pray every single day for a revolution. Thank you, Katarina, for sorting out this great song. This line captures me and captures, from my point of view, the essence of inner rebellion, the longing for clarity and change when the world feels overwhelming. And its raw emotion and vulnerability, Linda Perry's voice becomes a symbol for every person who has ever questioned what's going on in their own life or society. For me, the song is timeless because it is fusing frustration with faith, a cry for understanding that turns into a collective call for awakening. It's both deeply personal and powerful, universal, much like Katarina's work, transforming confusion into consciousness and uncertainty into empowerment. Katarina, great to have you here.
Thank you, Annabelle, for inviting me. Really looking forward to our discussions.
I would like to introduce you with a few words, and I hope that you don't mind. Katarina was never one to follow the noise. She wanted to understand it. While others saw cowards in the markets, Katarina saw patterns, human stories, and possibilities. After nearly two decades as an equity portfolio manager, she knows the rhythm of global markets like a musician knows a symphony. Then when to listen, when to act, and when silence says more than numbers ever could. As the founder of the female finance movement, Katarina is shifting the balance from earning power to ownership power, from uncertainty to clarity. Katarina believes that finance is not just about wealth, but about agency, the freedom to choose your own story. On her podcast, My Financial Voice, she transforms complexity into confidence, showing how investing is less about timing the market and more about trusting yourself. Her mission? To help generation, to help one generation, several generations, especially women, move from fear to financial freedom. Because money doesn't define who we are, but it can amplify who we become. Thank you, Katarina, for being here, and thank you for your impressive work.
Thank you, Annabelle. Great words, really touching me very much.
Thank you. I mean, you've earned it. You've done so many things, and if I go back to your childhood, when you think back, what was your first memory of money?
As a teenager, I was always looking for ways to earn money, and I found it exciting, just almost like a game. And one of my first business idea was selling ice cream on the street. The logistics were far from perfect, and I used to pick up two boxes from the factory and set up in the busiest part of the town in winter. And people laughed, and you know what? I sold out. The next day, I took my profit and reinvested, and that feeling stayed with me. Over time, I kept finding little jobs here and there, and I loved discovering how money could be created through ideas and effort. And usually, I used those earnings to buy gifts for my family. That gave me the deepest joy.
Wow. Wow, that's great to hear that story. Were you raised to see money as security, freedom, or something else entirely? I mean, after your story, I would say more freedom, right?
Absolutely right. For me as a child, it was definitely freedom. I never really thought about security back then. Everything felt safe and stable. What fascinated me was the idea of making money on my own in my own financial decisions. And earning something and deciding what to do with it. So it gave me a sense of independence that I truly loved.
This is great, also so early, and to combine it with this understanding of freedom, but also playfulness, right? Did you always had an analytical mind, or did that curiosity grow over time?
I always loved math. Both of my parents are engineers, and my later sister became a mathematician. So maybe it's something in our genes. But for a long time, I was torn. My dream was to become a surgeon. Yet I was deeply fascinated by numbers and logic. So in the end, my analytical mind won, and it led me into finance instead of medicine. Looking back, the curiosity and love for structure were always part of who I am.
Now, I mean, finance is still something which is a bit male, which is definitely not a bit, it is male dominated. And even if you say that your mother was also an engineer, finance is definitely male dominated. Did you ever feel out of place in a male dominated environment early on?
You know what? Depending on where I was, like if I think back and being in academic world and never thought about this so much, it felt everything in balance. It's always about the brilliant minds. Maybe later on in the work, when I started there, I saw that fewer women were around and more men were often more outspoken and connected, and sometimes just by habits like smoking together. So instead of trying to fit in, I built my own circle and naturally connected with other women. And that became a real source of strength for me and inspiration.
I can imagine, but I could also imagine that some men would be a bit jealous, or would look at this and say, "Ooh, what's going on there? Some strong women comes together. I'm not sure if I like that."
I don't think so. Maybe I never was thinking about this so much. I think, you know, if you meet people, it's just not so much about gender, about the character and about the brilliance of mind. So I met so many great people and I never looked so much into the gender. So certainly, gender became a topic because there were not so many women. But I really met so as many great women as great men in my life.
Wow, that sounds really good. And if you have to, if you go back, what you said, meeting great people, is there one experience you would like to share with us, which illustrates that?
And in terms of their having great people and great minds, you know, it's like every year brings something new. And I certainly, if I have to pick the most favorite person this year, it would be you.
Wow, thank you so much.
It's incredible. I always look for people like for role models, you know, and it's never been a role model for my entire life, one person. It would be always a different one at the stage. And I think it's, you know, as I was young, I left Germany and went to Brighton. And I didn't have really money, I didn't have a job, but I was breaking out like in the song, you know. And I met these great people, David and Maria, and I was just in early 20s. And they cleaned my mind a lot. They were about end of 50. In the end of the 50s, and we spoke a lot, and they were my role models back then. So, and that so every phase in my life had great people. Probably I was not looking for them, but I found them, and they inspired me, and they led me, and they taught me to make right decisions.
Wow, that sounds really, really good. And if you go back to financial decisions, have you ever made a financial decision that taught you more than success ever could?
Yeah, certainly. And I would say that, you know, doing mistakes probably taught me even more than being successful. And I think that you need to be prepared in terms of their how you make your decisions. And I would say there are three rules I stick to. First, never chase quick money. If it looks like an easy win, it's usually not. Second, if something looks cheap, it's often for a reason. So question your decision. And third, always make your own mistakes. The few times I followed someone else's advice without doing my own research, I regretted it deeply. If I don't truly understand the risk, I would not rely on my own decision.
Really wise words. Thank you. You are an experienced finance person. After many years in equity management, what keeps you inspired every day?
In my job, I'm at the pulse of everything happening in the world. It's society, it's politics, it's economy, technology, even medicine. And it's incredibly inspiring to move with that constant progress and to see how innovation reshapes our lives. So, of course, there are setbacks along the way, but the overall trajectory is astonishing. What keeps me inspired is being so close to the source of change, understanding it, learning from it, and translating into investment ideas.
That's interesting. For me, you speak an additional language some people should at least understand. But how do you translate this complexity, which is a special language, a logical language for you, maybe also a kind of puzzle for you? How do you translate this global complexity into clarity for your clients, but also into stories which they understand?
Yeah, you're right. The world is incredibly complex, but structure brings clarity like almost everywhere. I always start with a clear strategy and stick to it. So when I explain markets or performance, I break things into smaller pieces, meaningful parts, and for example, key drivers, the themes, the decisions behind them. It's about turning global complexity in their simple, actionable stories. So it's about storytelling, so people understand why something has happened, not just what has happened.
And is this also something which is for you or for others also explaining a little bit the world? Because I mean, this is not something we talked about or I sent you as a question, but I mean, I can imagine that numbers could help understanding the complexity of the world better. We are often so lost in this, doesn't understand how the geopolitical things work together, but if you look at this from number side, maybe it's a logic which would help a lot of people much better to understand how the things fit into each other. Isn't it like this?
I think the world is so complex. Even if you study history, we cannot really figure out what is going on if things just seems like happening again. So it's not always easy to also assess it through numbers or through logic. So sometimes, you know, we understand afterwards and they think, oh, why we didn't see it before. I think this is also so much because people are involved in all these happenings, and yeah, all these minds and actions there sometimes are not predictable. So there we just try to think about what we know and try to elaborate and explain it into the future, but we are also, you know, going away from our trajectory from sometimes. So I'm very optimistic person about the future. I think we are going into the right direction, but yeah, sometimes we will be in the volatility, and numbers just help us to be on the trajectory. But yeah, the complexity of human being is what is bringing us away from those trends from time to time.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we had an exciting exchange now. So, stay tuned after the commercial break of 2 minutes, approximately 2 minutes. We will continue our conversation. I have some great questions. I'm looking forward to hearing your answers on that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach. Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Katerina, we've covered some intriguing topics in the last minutes, and now we continue our conversation. So, Katerina just talked about the language of finance, the language of numbers, and how it might help us in this time where we are struggling all with this geopolitical changes, with these crises we have and face, and with the insecurities we are facing in the world, maybe finance and numbers can make us healthier too. Katerina, you're also well known for your female finance movement. When did you realize you wanted to found that? And why? Was there a special situation which brought you to that, that you said, yes, there is a need? That's me who start with that.
Yeah, thank you for this question. It's actually started during COVID. During COVID, everything changed. The social media gave a voice to so many important issues. And I had this idea of the movement many, many years ago. And I got this call from a friend and she reminded me of this. And I thought this is the right time. And I put a concept in seconds. And then I called one by one all my female colleagues. And they were in. They were saying, I'm in. And then we worked kind of underground first together on the concept further. And then we introduced it to our CEO and he was thrilled. And so we started the movement. And since then, it's really a huge movement within our company and outside the company. It's a huge need for women to start investing because we have a huge gap and in everything, in what we earn and what we are getting later on as we retire. So I wanted to send a signal for awakening that we need to start as an institution. We need to start this movement. And the women become aware that they need to change something. And this is still on fire within our company. We have a female finance working council connecting different departments within the company. It's HR, it's investment, it's IT, it's operations. All departments came one by one. And mainly women within our council, but also men. And we have clear ambassadors to our board who support us. And we bring those decisions to change something, to become a business case for women and for women wealth. And it works really well. So we have so many people joining us on this council and we are changing the world.
Wow. This is a super great news because we all know that yeah, let's say it's around 50 years ago, women had not this freedom. In Germany, for example, they had not the freedom to just sign a contract, open an account. They had to ask when they were not married, had to ask their father if they were or when they were married, they had to ask their husband. The freedom of decision, the freedom of taking care. I mean, we sometimes think, how does it come that women are not that secure about finance? There we have the answer. It might be in our epigenetics. It might be in our in everything what we learned as women from our mothers. This fear, maybe this insecurity, maybe also this feeling comfortable by telling the husband that he might be responsible for everything, and the woman hope. Fully feels good with that. But I want to share also a situation. Therefore, I felt really, I felt very bad some weeks ago, where I was invited to the GLOW Foundation. The GLOW Foundation is taking care of women, especially women which were well-known artists, for example, musicians, artists in every case. And some of them, or many of them, 80 or 90 or 80 something, they are poor. They have no money enough to prepare them a healthy meal a day. And that made me so speechless, made me feeling so bad, understanding that these women, we clapped the hand when we saw them on television. We just thought that they are wealthy and have enough money. But seeing what happened to them should be a really big and loud sign for all of us, for all women, that we have to take care of this, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right.
And it's shocking sometimes, because thinking of looking behind the curtain, I think you might have seen it too, that even women from finance are often not taking care of their own finance.
Yeah. And I think it's changing. So I feel a huge responsibility to set the change. And I talk to everyone, to my friends, to my peers, to my relatives and colleagues, that we should be role models for everyone who is looking up to us. And I think if everyone, every woman will do the same, just, set the fire, make another woman waking up, so it will change the world. It will change the system and the structure.
I completely agree with you, even and especially when women like you and me collaborate and strengthen each other and giving each other applause, giving each other also the boardroom, giving each other the place to speak and the visibility, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I mean, we both know that, of course, in some boardrooms, it's still quiet when it's about women. How do you ensure women's voices are heard more and more? Maybe you have also some concrete story to share.
I think it's always about being smart and strategic. It's not just about speaking louder and just building alliances. I focus on getting people on our side who hold influence and decision power, people who can open doors for others. It's just, as I said, it's about finding ambassadors, those in senior positions who speak on our behalf and help more women step forward. And there are many, many cases where I did on purpose a decision to go to those people, and none of them would ever say no. None of their people in power would say, I will not support you. So we need to have courage just to raise this question and ask for help.
Absolutely. I like this. Ask for help. Not be the ones which are fighting. Be the ones who ask. Be the ones who continue. Be the ones who not stop moving on this path, right? Katharina, you see a lot, you travel a lot, you are on the phone a lot, you have a family, you have a lot of responsibility. What are you doing to keep yourself in a good and healthy Mood. What's your morning ritual before facing the markets?
My morning always starts with movement, a few exercises to wake up both body and mind. Then I listen to podcasts that capture the overnight news and set the tone of the day. It helps me to connect instantly to the pulse of what's happening around the world. And I love catching up with my children, even if it's maybe very briefly in the morning, but chatting with them gives me a huge joy. And finally, I take a quiet moment with a bowl of yogurt and fruit. It's a small ritual and brings balance before the markets begin.
Wow, that's great. And how do you stay emotionally steady in times of volatility? Also, if customers are calling you, being upset, seeing you as the only one who can help them right now.
Usually, I don't frequently talk to customers. Being a fund manager, I'm kind of in their, you know, in the engine room. So from time to time, I go out and talk to customers. And actually, there were some very great conversations. But yeah, back to your question in terms of the volatility. After so many years in the markets, I've learned that everything in our life moves in phases, and you know this. After a difficult one, a better one always follows. So volatility is just a part of the rhythm. What keeps me steady is preparation and balance. It makes sure that my portfolio is well diversified and with positions that protect it in weak times and others that thrive in markets which are rising. So it's the same in the life. You need both the work and private life to stay grounded. Balance is what makes you sleep well in markets and in life.
Absolutely, yes. Do you believe intuition has a place in investing?
For me, intuition is experience. You can't rely on intuition when you're just starting. That would be just guessing or gambling. But once you build knowledge and expertise, intuition becomes a form of trust in your own judgment. It's like in mathematics or building a house. You need a basis, a foundation, and then everything you build on it. So what we call intuition is often just experience that has become just a second nature.
Absolutely. And do you have a hack to share to build financial confidence for our listeners now?
I would say to build their confidence, we need to start with their knowledge. Just, I think that knowledge compounds over time very strongly. It's just, again, at the foundation. Just never relax. Never relax and just question what you know or you don't know. You need an opinion. And an opinion you only get if you get knowledge. Just step by step. Maybe start with a podcast. Just become curious and try with the small steps. And then the confidence will come after. There are some people who are maybe confident by nature, but they cannot be confident in everything. So I really truly believe that knowledge gives the most confidence we ever needed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. If we come to your vision or also purpose, what do you think does financial empowerment for women look like 10 years from now?
Oh, I think that it will depend on how well we integrate financial education into our schools. Mm-hmm. As long as that is missing, we still have work to do. So change in society takes time, and so will this. So, but I'm optimistic, I have to admit. So as I said, step by step, we can make financial knowledge accessible to everyone. And it's not only about genders or backgrounds. I think it's also about social levels, which is very important. So true empowerment begins when understanding money becomes just a natural part of our life.
I have something, or what you say is just bringing me a sentence of a woman from finance in my mind. She said, "Only if you know about your finance, you can be healthy. Only if you know about your finance, you can be in a self consciousness, in a safe mind, in a clear mind, in a healthy mind." A lot of women are far away from that.
It's true. It's true. But as I said, I think what we are experiencing right now in this century is huge, because we are just changing, really changing the world. And maybe we have sometimes setbacks, but I think the trajectory is the right one. And I believe that what we just set on fire, it will not be, you know, diminished by no means, no power. And I think it will change the way we also teach our children how to progress and how to evolve. And it will be just a common sense. We need to be a bit patient. Patient and patient.
If we look into help and support for women, what would you give as a sentence to women which feel struggling, which think that finance is something which is too much, too complicated, and just make them trouble because they don't understand anything?
I would say just start with something. It's always difficult to get over this point just of starting, but you know that you need it, and start as early as you can. So if you're in the early 20s, as I would tell myself, just do investing. It's never a better moment than now. And you will later on see and admit that it's true. So begin early and build the foundation. If you are in your later years, it's not too late. It's never too late. Just again, do a small step forward. You can always get the information everywhere, from podcasts, from the internet, and maybe ask a friend, ask a consultant, and just, you know, it's everything starts with yourself. So be brave.
So we should start with ourselves. We should start with the inner revolution. We should start with a rebellion, inner rebellion, and do the first steps. Thank you so much, Katharina, for being with us. I'm really looking forward to making the world a better place together with you. And of course, seeing you very much soon.
Thank you, Annabelle. The same. Thank you so much for being a part of my life this year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So after the commercial break of approximately 2 minutes, we will continue with the introduction of Professor Dr. Adolfo Panfili. Stay tuned.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, I'm very happy to welcome Professor Dr. Adolfo Panfili. Welcome here in the show.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for inviting me to your session. It's really interesting what I've heard.
Thank you so much. So we tag you, listeners, on a journey into the world of a man who remedies medicine. From a young dreamer in Rome to an international recognized pioneer in automolecular medicine, Professor Dr. Adolfo Panfili, a visionary who unites surgery, nutrition, and holistic well-being. Stay tuned as we uncover the story of a doctor who is more than just a medical professional and genius. So, Adolfo, I'm very happy to have you here. Being not in Rome at your place is a shame, but I hope that I can visit you there also in the near future. If I want to go back, the course every fascinating person starts with a childhood, start being a kid. What fascinated you most about the human body and mind as a child? Was there a story you might want to share with us?
When I was really very, very young, I used to play outside because I was living in a countryside of Rome. And at the end of the day, I started to meditate, and I was able to perceive all the color rainbow of object, you know, of surroundings. I was able to perceive what you call normally aura. Aura is the light around the body. And I was meditating spontaneously, and I was fascinated by the energy flowing in the country. So the energy of the ground, of the trees, of the garden. And this was really fascinating me. And this is why when I became older, after my first Laura degree in medicine, I've got a degree in sociology and psychology. And finally, I came out with a chiropractic degree in USA. I'm the only orthopedic doctor which is laureated as a degree also in the chiropractic. The mortar best technique. And finally, I close my circle with a degree in quantum physics that supports very much. You know, I am really, I'm not so old. I am just 40 years old plus 360 months. But nevertheless, no, that's important.
Yes.
When you talk to yourself, you are modulating your capacity to perform and how you perform. You need to be connected with the prefrontal cortex. Mm-hmm. And when you are on tune, this prefrontal cortex will tune itself, you know, hippocampus, which is the base camp for, you know, mind memory and low-time memory, long-time memory, middle-time memory. And finally, you stay tuned with the putamen, with the amygdala, which is related with the post-traumatic stress disorder, with the caudatus and putamen. So you need to be tuned between your frontal cortex, prefrontal cortex, and the amygdala, hippocampus, putamen, caudatus. So it's a kind of music symphonia, and you need the orchestra director to be tuned with the players. So life is a matter of tuning.
And it sounds like it is important that you understand this language, isn't it? With its signs and its melodies. Because only if you understand it, you can play in a way that is that it's getting your and your healthy melody, right?
You are absolutely right, but nevertheless, remember then, we try to have immediate response to our behavior. In really not like that, because sometimes life is a matter not to have immediate responses, immediate answers. But, you know, it's like to draw. Have you ever tried to put numbers on a paper and try to draw a line between the different numbers? When you're drawing at the moment, at the beginning, you cannot feel the final project, the final picture. But nevertheless, you keep drawing lines. And finally, you can see the final project of your life. So sometimes we need to tune our sails in order to respect the wind. Sometimes we have to draw the line without understanding immediately where are we going to, because finally we'll get the response at the end of the drawing. So sometimes you want to go, maybe you want to be an engineer, you want to be a cosmonaut, you want to be a champ. So start. But nevertheless, during your pathway, be ready to change the direction. Because sometimes we don't understand, then the, no, life is like, you know, I'm the famous quantum physics. Experience something like this with the 64 different levels of being. So normally, where do you live? Which floor do you live in? In which floor in your building?
I live in Berlin in the third and fourth floor.
Okay, if you face out of the window, what can you see?
Trees. A lot of trees.
Okay, if you live ground floor, what can you see when you face to the window?
I guess some people walking,
okay,
cars.
Maybe you can see the clothes of your neighbor. But if you press the button of the lift, I am saying that if you press the button of the 64th floor, when you go up to the penthouse on the top of the floor, you will see, if you face outside, maybe you can see Spain from one side. On the other side, maybe you can see Dalmatia. What does it mean? Then during our life, we spend our life living in a certain floor without imagining that you can push the button to the higher floor. 64 is not a casual number. 64 is a meaningful number. 6 plus 4 is 10. And 10 is number 1, which is the number of God, according to the Gematria of Kabbalah. Mm-hmm. And 64 are the numbers of the I Chi King. You know, the hexagram that can express on DNA behavior and objective. And finally, 64 are the numbers of the triplet of amino acid inside the DNA. So when you leave, please press the button of the 64th floor. Don't leave only on your floor, because this is a limitation. You have to draw the line. You have to draw the final picture of your life. You will be able to understand the final meaning of your life just at the end of your life.
This is a lot of wisdom, and I hope that many can follow that to improve their quality of life, to give them another view of life every day and every second. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What was the situation, or what brought you there? The transition from theory to practical application in medicine. That you could just teach the whole day standing on stages, but you decided also to do one-to-one support, helping people, going the path with them to help them healing.
I really think we don't teach people. I really think we is a kind of awakening of yourself. This was called by Socrates as maieutic. Maieutic is the art of the, you know, of the obstetrician to support the mother in delivery. So Socrates stated, I am like my mother. The Socrates' mother was named Phenarete. And I am like my mother, and I support people to grow up to life. So we don't have to teach, I think. So the best way of teaching is just to give a good example to the kids. We have mirror motor neurons, so we teach more by our behavior, right and ethical behavior, transparent behavior. So our kids will learn from this, much more from this than from words. Words sometimes don't resonate properly with your heart. So, words are so important. Who is speaking badly, thinks badly, and lives badly. So this is true. So maybe we can support people like Socrates did with the maieutical procedure according to the art of his mother, that was an obstetrician. So we can support people to give up bad behavior and to start with new good behavior. But we don't really teach people, I think so. If you teach, you are conditioning the behavior of people, and this is not truly appropriate because soul is a matter of expression. We don't have to condition too much people.
How do you help people that their body understands the the lectures, the wisdom you're giving them? Because I could imagine that often the old systems, the old pattern stays very strong. And by knowing from analytics from the head, it is hard to transfer into a new system. Because you learned by childhood that this pattern you have learned, maybe it's dangerous, maybe it's difficult, maybe it was not healthy at all, but this is a pattern of your childhood, and it's not easy for many people to get out of that.
You are absolutely right. About 1 month ago, or a month ago, I gave a speech in front of Notre Dame, the Gothic Cathedral, and we were dealing with the alchemic approach to life. Notre Dame Cathedral, Gothic Cathedral, is a temple, an alchemical temple, where there is written the big magic opera. So the alchemic opera, the great opera, is a matter of starting from Nigredo, Albedo and Rubedo. Nigredo is the bad and cloudy night of sorrows. And after this, you go through Albedo. So you go inside, the hero journey by Campbell and Glaser. They wrote a book, very important book. Life is a matter of an alchemical journey. So you are the hero of your life. You have to go inside your emotion. You go inside, and sometimes we are scared because fear is a matter of no light. So nevertheless, according to Jung approach, we have to go in the dark in order to find light. You cannot go directly to light. It's like the drunk man that is wandering around, somebody come near to him and ask him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I am looking for my wallet." "Oh, you lost it." "Yes, I lost it." "Okay, did you lose it here?" He said, "No, I lost it over there." "Oh, why are you looking for it just here?" And he answered, "Because there is light over here. It's not a way. Because whenever you are looking for light, you have to go through the dark, the nigredo, the dark night of soul, when you are sorrow, when you have fear, when you suffer, then you have to go through. You have all the instrument to go through the dark. And also, if you find out dark, you can find out light later on. And this will be albedo, which is the sunrise in your life after the night. You can be sure that after the night, the bad night, you will find light. And after light, you will find rubedo, which is the alchemical final operation when the dark and the light will be melted, like yin and yang, day and night, good and bad. And it's so important because life is a matter of alchemical journey. And when I treat people coming from all over the world, I start with them this journey, the hero journey. Everyone has his hero journey to perform. If you are escaping, you never find out the real meaning of your life. And we have different levels of knowledge. If you look in front of Cathedral, Notre Dame Cathedral, we'll find a woman which is sitting with a flight of steps. And on the other side, two books. One is open, one is closed. The open book is the exoteric, what you can see, what you can read. And the other book is a closed book, which is the esoteric, which means the meaning inside. So this woman is holding these two books, and there is a flight of steps on their back with different nine different levels. And we can distribute these different levels in alchemical pathway of life, which is calcination, sublimation, solution, putrefaction, dilution, and coagulation. And these are the different levels of this flight of steps. We have to go through them. So whenever you go in front of a cathedral Gothic church, we'll find these emotions, and you will find the different levels of knowledge. Also, if you don't understand immediately, because you can see just the architecture, you receive in your soul the information, and we'll be able to distill it properly, beginning your hero journey, your chemical journey. So whenever you find bad time, don't try to escape. Go inside them, go in the night, go in the dark, and you find out the button to push to find out light.
Thank
So
you.
medicine is basically to support patients, don't to teach them, support them that through the illness, maybe there is a solution inside. You have to understand why the illness became necessary. Maybe you can understand better. You can change the cause in order to change the effects. No way the medicine should be addressed to the real cause of diseases, like my professor, Professor Linus Pauling, double Nobel Award for Peace and Chemistry, stated a lot of years ago. And I remember a day when Professor Pauling was explaining us in Palo Alto about a new project he had. He was 90 years old, so not really very young, and he was planning for a projector to orient to this day, 30 years later. So one student asked him, "Professor, you are planning for a project in 30 years. You think you will be alive in 30 years from now?" And he stopped with his shining eyes. He looked to the student and he said, "For sure, I won't be there physically, but my ideas will be there. So what about yours?" So the student shut up immediately.
For sharing this, Professor Dr. Adolfo Panfili, and I know that we should have hours more to talk about, and hopefully maybe we get this with one of the next shows. For now, I thank you very, very much for being here, for sharing your insights. And I know, and we know that you have a lot of books, so people who would like to read more, get more information, can reach out to you.
One is this, is an
Thank you.
English version. You can
Thank you.
find this is a bestseller in USA now. So
Exactly.
orthomolecular biology. You
Yeah,
look
we.
great. You are in great shape. Thank
Thank
you
you.
for this, dedicating time.
Thank you so much. And
Hi,
that wraps up.
everybody.
Thank you. And that wraps up our episode of We Empower, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, resilience, unlimited potential